You're listening to Crypto at the Ferrum Roundtable, made for the people who want to make the most out of their crypto journey, with the mission of breaking down barriers to mass adoption of blockchain technology. This podcast is brought to you by the folks at Ferrum Network. All information in this podcast is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only, without any express or implied warranty of any kind, including warranties of accuracy, completeness, or fitness for any particular purpose. The information contained in or provided in this podcast is not intended to be and does not constitute financial advice, investment advice, trading advice, or any other advice.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Ferrum Academy. My name is Tom from the marketing team here at Ferrum Network. Please welcome Ian, the COO of Ferrum Network. Hey Ian.
Hey Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great because this is another episode that we're making of the Ferrum Academy. And today we want to focus on the blockchain technology. So Ian, what can you tell us? What's blockchain?
Okay, so I think about blockchain as essentially a digital ledger that is designed to record transactions in an immutable way and reward those who are maintaining that blockchain in cryptocurrency. There's a lot to unpack there, but the concept of a ledger is, I think, a critical component of this. Because if you understand how a normal ledger operates and then you compare that to a blockchain ledger, that's when you start to understand the value proposition of a blockchain. By a ledger, we just really mean a record of transactions, right? Normally, a ledger is maintained by a central entity like your bank. You know, they record that I've sent, you know, my $100 to so-and-so, who then has sent it to so-and-so, and on and on and on, right? They maintain that ledger. That internal ledger, but you trust them to not mess it up. The blockchain says we're not going to trust any one individual, but we're sort of going to trust the those who are participating in the network to all independently verify the truth as it relates to that ledger. And then, like I said before, reward those people in cryptocurrency. So very important to understand the ledger. And then you can start to understand a blockchain ledger.
Okay. And would you say that that's also the main aspect of what makes crypto decentralized? Because it doesn't stay in the power of, you know, one institution like a bank. It actually spreads around makes it decentralized, in fact, across all users of that network that participate.
That's it. Yeah, that's the real power of it. And that's why people call blockchain trustless, because you don't have to trust a single entity. If somebody who's participating in that network tries to insert a fraudulent transaction, for example, the other participants are going to look and see, wait, that's wrong, and they won't let that information enter the ledger. It's very hard to manipulate, basically impossible to manipulate. And so you can trust it, right? Mm-hmm. I personally think you shouldn't call it trustless. You should call it trustful, but people call it trustless because you don't have to trust any single entity.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. And now, can you tell me, does it mean that, because if you go on CoinMarketCap or CoinGecko, and currently there's around, 13,000 different, coins, tokens, you know, projects. Does it mean that each one of them has their own blockchain?
No. As a matter of fact, the vast majority are tokens, utility tokens that are running on top of a blockchain like an Ethereum or a Binance Smart Chain. It's important to distinguish between the different kinds of digital assets that exist. There are cryptocurrencies, which should be thought really as currencies, means of payment. Bitcoin is the primary example. And then you have tokens, utility tokens, which serve sort of a different use case, usually with respect to a particular project that is running on top of a network like an Ethereum or Binance Smart Chain. So there's different kinds of digital assets, all different use cases. Currencies are one, tokens are another, NFTs are another. So it goes on and on, but there's only so many blockchains. There are not actually that that many, especially viable ones. So Ferrum's building one, mind you. But no, they're not every one of those 13,000 is its own blockchain.
Okay, cool. So that make so basically the it's like the layers, right? Whenever there's a coin, it's usually its own coin because it runs on its own network. That's when it becomes it's a layer one. Right.
Blockchain can be thought of as a layer one, and we're maybe getting into the weeds a little bit. But an important thing to understand here is that when you're talking about blockchains as it relates to cryptocurrencies, they're sort of separate things, but they're interconnected. So the blockchain is that distributed, decentralized ledger that's recording transactions, and then the currency, the currency is the asset that the participants of that network get rewarded in for validating the transactions that happen on the blockchain. The perfect example is, of course, Bitcoin. That's what everybody talks about, mining. What are miners doing? They're really validating and confirming transactions on the network. They're guessing they're doing these hashes, these guessings, which we won't get into in this video. And they're eventually rewarded in a little bit of Bitcoin, right? So there's the Bitcoin ledger. And there's the Bitcoin currency that folks are rewarded in when they participate in that sort of mining process, verifying mm-hmm. transaction.
Okay, thank you. And just also going back, because you've already mentioned the tokens and coins, whenever you do your research on CoinMarketCap again or CoinGecko, you can see that they're classified either as a coin or as a token. Now, can you just tell us a little bit, what's the difference between both of those two?
Yeah, this is an important distinction that I think a lot of people just entering the industry might be a little bewildered by. A lot of people think of them all as coins. They may not be familiar with the concept of a token, but they're in fact two different things. A coin typically or should refer to a digital asset whose primary use case is a sort of a transaction, a payment. Transaction. Think a medium of exchange is what it's technically called. Think Bitcoin. Think the U.S. dollar. It's a currency. You use it primarily to buy and sell, goods and services. No different from Bitcoin. Bitcoin also has a function as a store of value. Tokens, on the other hand, are usually more so referred to as utility tokens. Are assets whose use is related specifically to a particular product or service or potentially network, where normally you have to hold or use the token in some way in order to access something or get some sort of benefit, right? Hold the token. It's kind of like your, you can think of it like the token you use to play a game in the arcade. It works within this game, this arcade, and that's its primary use case. That's a utility token. So those are the two. There's currencies, which are coins, and utility tokens, which are sort of these tokens which you would use to access or use something within a particular product.
Okay, thank you. And the two main projects, the two main crypto coins that we have, it's Bitcoin and it's Ethereum. And Ethereum is also known as the most popular altcoin. What does it mean? What are altcoins?
Yeah, so altcoins were a term or are a term that are used to designate essentially every other digital asset aside from Bitcoin. Right. In crypto, things can get a little bit tribalistic and you have, camps who supporters that support one or, one coin or token, maybe not the other. So the Bitcoiners, so to speak, those who are very fervently in support of Bitcoin, there's Bitcoin and there's everything else. And that's the altcoins. That's the everything else. But it gets a little bit confusing because the altcoins are actually, in fact, tokens. They're not really coins at all. They're not, designed to be currencies. So you don't want people sort of losing sight of the big picture when you get into too much nomenclature. That's my opinion. But there are, in fact, differences and distinctions between all these various terms.
Okay, thank you. And I wanted to also ask you, because you've mentioned, I think this is incredibly important for everyone to understand, so it resonates really well, utility. You know, that's a part that a lot of people, from what I see, my personal experience, you probably see it as well on Twitter or YouTube, you know, whenever there's a little meme coin coming out, you know, people forget about the utility aspect of tokens a lot of times, and they maybe because they lack the skill to do their own research, which if you follow the Ethereum Academy, you'll learn that really well as well. However, what I wanted to ask you is, what can you tell us? Because here at Ethereum Network, we have two tokens, right? We have FRM and we have FRMX. Can you tell us a little bit about the utility and what's the difference between those two?
Yeah, so utility is a key concept that everybody who is an investor in cryptocurrencies or altcoins, what have you, needs to understand. So by utility, really, what is the use case of this token or this asset? And why would anybody want to actually use this thing? Usually it relates to the problem that that token or that coin is trying to solve. So, you know, good examples, why would you want to use, or what's the, what, you know, here's a good example of, before we go into Ethereum. Why does, you know, people ask me, in fact, my dad, who just dipped his toes into crypto, asked me about Ethereum. Why should he invest in Ethereum? And we had a discussion about what is the use case or utility of the Ethereum coin or token. Of course, the utility of Ethereum is that you need to spend it every time you or anybody else ever, you need to spend it when there is a transaction run on that network. So every time I go to send somebody an asset, an ERC-20 or Ethereum-based token using the Ethereum network, I have to spend a little bit of Ethereum as gas. So that's your use case. That's your utility. Now, it only works if, so you can have a utility, but if nobody wants to use that thing, nobody wanted to use the Ethereum network, well, then Ethereum would have no value. It would have a utility, but not like, but no one's using it. So then it's valueless, right? So that's what we always think about that with Ethereum as well. What are the utilities and what's the reason you would want to hold it? Well, we're building our own blockchain and Ethereum, the token, like Ethereum, will be used as gas. So that's, you know, first and foremost. However, we've developed other utilities as we're building out the mainnet, the blockchain, that are also valid use cases. For instance, holding the token in order to access, you know, early stage investment opportunities. Or holding the token to access our DeFi products like Crucible. We have many, many different utilities, including those around the bridge. And of course, we have FerrumX, which is our governance token, which is a different use case, governance decisions, helping make decisions around the company itself. So utility is key. You should never lose sight of it. It's fun to invest in meme coins. They often don't have much actual utility. They're fun. You know, they may go up, they may go down. It's nice to speculate. But if you were to ask anybody what's the utility of a Dogecoin, I think they'd be hard-pressed to find an answer. So that's why I personally never invest in meme coins, because you could guess right, and you could guess that, you know, tomorrow Elon Musk is going to tweet about it. But chances are you're going to guess wrong. It's no different than gambling, in my view. So not investment advice. You can invest in whatever you want, meme coins, non-meme coins. But the key is you understand the concept of utility, and then you understand why is it that somebody would want to use this particular blockchain or product to begin with. So, thank you for asking that question, Tom. Very important.
Cool. Thank you very much. And for everyone that's still watching us, what can you tell us about Ethereum Network? Why people should follow us and join our community?
Yes, if you're not bored by the lecture and you're still watching, Ethereum is an interoperability protocol designed to solve some of the biggest challenges in the crypto space, connecting blockchains, making them fast and connected so that people around the world can actually generate some use and utility out of their cryptocurrencies. So that's really fundamentally what we're trying to do. We'll probably dive into some of the details around that in a future video. But yeah, you could say that Ferrum is trying to add utility to all tokens in a sense.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Ian. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and your expertise in the field. Thank you very much. And thank you guys for watching. Please follow us on Twitter, join us on Discord and Telegram, and subscribe and hit the like button. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Ferrum Network is a pioneer in ushering in the era of interoperability 2.0. Ferrum Network's mainnet nodes and related infrastructure will bring value, data, and functional interoperability to every chain in the industry. Ferrum also specializes as a multi-chain blockchain as a service DeFi company, adding deflationary mechanisms, token utility, and advisory services to projects across the crypto space.